A few verses in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, starting from verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples that were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. There was a principle that we talked about today, something that is seen very well in the life of Paul. And it's something that I believe all of us as believers have desired to have at some point. And that's when God wanted Paul to do something, God told Paul what to do. When Paul was supposed to go somewhere, he told him to go. And when he wasn't supposed to go somewhere, he told him not to go. And I know that there have been instances in my life where there's been a decision or something that needed to be done, and I have been in an anguish trying to discern what the Lord would have for me to do. And I've said, why isn't it more obvious? And I believe that's a place as believers that we all can find ourselves in sometimes. And I believe the secret lies in the way that we ask the question. Because a man like Paul, when he is faced with decisions, he is shown throughout his whole life and his whole and everything that he's written, he has a remarkable, a unique absence of self-will. And he has replaced that with Christ. For me to live is Christ. So when Paul is asking the questions, he is saying, what is the best way for me to most effectively serve the Lord Jesus? And no matter where he goes, no matter what he's supposed to do, he's going to serve the Lord Jesus. Whether he goes here or he goes there, the end is still going to be the same. He's going to preach the name of the Lord Jesus. And this is something that he embraced from the moment he received the Holy Spirit. He went and he preached that Christ was the Son of God. And oftentimes when I find myself in these situations, the questions that I ask show not an absence of self, but a total of self. And the questions such as, where should I go to college so that I could get the best degree? What job should I have so that I can make the most money? What mate should I choose so that I could be the most happy I can be? When the reality is, these questions need to be, what college should I go to that I might most effectively serve the Lord? Where should I live that I most effectively might serve the Lord? These things that we need to go to school, we need to have a job, we need to have a house. All of these things we have, but the focus has to be on the Lord Jesus Christ, how I might, in every situation, most effectively serve him. Because Paul wasn't just one that was a missionary and that's all he did. He worked. He had a job. He was a tent maker. And during that job, he was a testimony for the Lord Jesus. He lived in this place for 2 years. For 2 years, he established a home. But all of Asia knew who Paul preached because of what he established in his home. And there's a verse in Genesis that I was reading last night that talks about Noah. And this is the principle that I think we all need to accept to ourselves. And I'm just going to read it and make a quick application and sit down. And this is in Genesis chapter 8. And this is after Noah sent the dove out. And Genesis chapter 8 and verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And this is really the principle that we see embraced in the life of Paul from the moment he knew the Lord Jesus as Savior. And this is something that you see in Noah too. is when God gives a gift, you take the gift and you bring it unto yourself, and it becomes precious to you. The moment Paul received the Holy Spirit, or Saul received the Holy Spirit, he took it in unto himself and he used it. We've all been given the same Holy Spirit, this wonderful gift of God that Paul was given. And God, no less than he did with Paul, can make his will obvious to us. And when God wants us to do something, when we have the spirit of how may I best serve the Lord Jesus, he will make what we want to do or what we need to do obvious. But the first thing we must do, we must take what God has given and embrace it. We have been given this gift of the Holy Spirit, a person of the Godhead living inside of us. We must take it, take him and embrace him. And like every wonderful, precious gift that we're given, we have the instructions on how most effectively to use it. We have the Word of God. We can feed the Spirit. We can learn how best to serve the Lord Jesus. And when we truly embrace what God has given to us, when we truly have the spirit of for me to live is Christ, God will make his will for me and for you evident for the name of the Lord Jesus.
Truly my heart was refreshed and encouraged today. And there is the hymn that we so often sing, God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. And certainly, it must have been a glorious day for the powers of darkness when Stephen was stoned to death. That Satan thought he had shut up God's witness for him on the earth. It must have been a wonderful day for them. But little did the enemy realize that God do move in mysterious ways. He took away God's witness, and God basically says, I'll take away yours, and I'll make him mine. And what a day that was when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Saul of Tarsus. That it was an experience for him that really words could not describe. As he would speak of this experience, as he would go through the epistles. To think that the Lord Jesus Christ, the man in the glory, is speaking to him personally. And one can see the response of the power of darkness when that occurred. That the one who describes himself as the chief of sinners, persecuting the church, is now going out proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And as it were, everyone is confounded by the fact that the persecutor is now the one who is proclaiming who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Oh, beloved saints, God moves in mysterious ways. But what we have to encourage ourselves concerning as we sit here together, and it was mentioned earlier on, it is the Acts of the Spirit of God, that the book of Acts has no benediction. The book of Acts really doesn't end. It is for us today as well. It is the Spirit of God using us to do what the Lord has called us to do. It is the Spirit of God who wants to use you, who wants to use me, and things may be recorded as to how he used us in these present days. And the question we have to ask ourselves is whether or not we want to be available for the Lord to use us. Saul of Tarsus did not simply ask, "Who art thou, Lord?" This man who was so zealous before his conversion was just as zealous after he got converted. That God, as it were, directed his energy in the right path. And as I sat there and I looked at the four maps of the apostle's journey, we would say today, boy, he has a lot of frequent flyer miles, you know? But here it is, the areas that he covered, what he was willing to do for the one who saved him. And I have to ask myself, am I willing to go to such extent to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in this present day? But one of the things I want to bring to our attention this evening is the fact that the enemy doesn't take a break. This which we hold in our hands, which is so precious to us, the Word of God, is that which, as it were, Paul was given to proclaim on every journey that he took. The Word of God, which speaks so much of the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard different aspects of things mentioned. Whether he be the Christ, the Son of God, it speaks about sanctification, justification, the kingdom of God, all of these things that are so vital to a Christian life, that it is here contained in the Word of God, and the enemy really doesn't want us to proclaim it faithfully. He would seek in whatever way he can to hinder the Word of God from getting out. We've heard the encouragement today, young people, in regards to taking it in. We have mentioned concerning Timothy, a young man that was well spoken of. And Paul will continue to encourage this young man. Study the scriptures. Read the scriptures. These are exhortations for us today. Why? Because it concerns the Word of God. And I would just like to highlight a few verses from the gospel for us to see how the enemy works as you and I go out to proclaim the Word of God wherever we may be. So in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, and it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Verse 18. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." And I would just like to highlight the work of the enemy in regards to the seed that fell by the wayside. This is what it says in verse 19. It's quite possible that we have shared, as we have shared many things today, that there were things you did not understand. And the enemy recognizes that. So it says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not." This is what the enemy of our soul does. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. So if you are here today and you don't understand everything, simply grab one of the brothers and ask them to explain it a little further to you. Because the enemy of your soul recognizes that there are some things you do not understand. And his desire is to snatch the word of God from your heart, lest it take root and you become a more vibrant, powerful Christian. The enemy is at work. We heard of the different incidents that the Apostle Paul and his companions experienced as they went out in service for the Lord. He is going to raise up whomsoever he would, the demon possessed, the sorcerers. The enemy is there to frustrate, to seek to frustrate the plans of God as his servants go out to proclaim the word. So we have to be careful that when the word is proclaimed, that we seek to understand that which has been shared. Because the enemy is lurking to take that which has been shared, to take it away from our hearts, lest it take root and grow. Let's look at what Mark says, Mark chapter 4, verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. The word is sown, it is proclaimed, and it is heard. In Matthew's gospel, it says that they did not understand. The enemy of our souls, beloved saints, as we go out to proclaim the word, he is not on vacation. He is there to snatch from those who hear the word of God. He wants to snatch it away from them. Why? Because he recognizes the importance of the word of God. In the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was tempted in the wilderness, what did he resort to? He resorted to the word of God. It is written. And in the times in which we are living in, we need to encourage ourselves in regards to that which is written, to take it in. And oh, beloved saints, as we look around and we see the work of the enemy on every hand, we talk about the different medias that are out there and how he is seeking to use these things to draw away our affections from the Lord Jesus Christ, that we take heed. The enemy is lurking. He wants to take it away immediately from the hearts of those who hear the word of God. And as the Lord Jesus would appear to Saul of Tarsus and save his precious soul and say to him, you are a chosen vessel. Beloved saints, you and I can be chosen vessel, and we are a chosen vessel. We can take the word of God in whatever measure we can and share it with others. It might be those that in our schools, on the job, our neighbors, our friends, families that are not saved. We can take the word of God and share it with them. But we have to be conscious of the wicked one. In Luke's gospel, chapter 8. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, many of us feel the devil is our friend. He's not. He's our enemy. And here it is when it comes to the salvation of a precious soul. And you might be here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you have heard the word of God proclaimed for the past few hours. The enemy of your soul do not want you to get saved. Can you imagine that? The enemy of your soul do not want you to get saved. So he is working to take the word of God from your heart. That which brings about life to an individual through the power of the Spirit of God. It is the word of God that tells us there needs to be repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We get that from the word of God. It is the word of God that tells us concerning that the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross and there he died. He suffered, bled and died. He died the just for the unjust in order to bring us back to God. We receive that from the word of God. We receive from the word of God that it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. And the enemy of our soul knows that. He knows that it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in the work that he has done, which brings us to a saving knowledge of him. The enemy of our soul knows that. And you may be here this evening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is our desire. It's the Lord's desire. It's heaven's desire. The scripture says heaven rejoices. The angels in the very presence of God rejoice over one sinner who repents. But the enemy of our souls, he recognizes that heaven will rejoice and he's doing whatever he can for you not to believe the gospel. For you not to be saved. But might you respond to the voice of the Spirit of God. We heard about that today. The Spirit of God that points you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He makes much of him. And he says that the Lord Jesus Christ desired that you come to him. If you are laboring and if you are heavy laden with sin, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will give you rest. It is the Lord Jesus that declared that he did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And if the Lord Jesus Christ can save the chief of sinners, the Lord Jesus can save you this evening. But all you have to do is to recognize that he died on the cross of Calvary in your place. He was your substitute. And God has extended an invitation to you. God's grace. That's what Saul spoke about. He spoke about how the grace of God met him. And all we can sing, as the hymn writer declared, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, he saved the chief of sinners, but he saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I can see. And God's grace is extended to you on an evening like this. But the enemy of your soul, he doesn't want you to believe and get saved. Might you yield to the Spirit's voice and surrender to the Lord Jesus and put your faith and trust in him. The enemy is at work, beloved saints, because he realized how powerful the word of God is. And if he can keep us from getting into it, and if he can keep it from getting into us, he will rejoice. But God moves in mysterious ways. and to save the chief of sinners. What a day that was. But we too are called to go out into all the world and proclaim God's word. And how thankful we are, as was mentioned earlier, the Lord working with them. But we have the Spirit of God to lead us in the path that he would have us to go. May we be obedient to his voice and be encouraged for his name's sake.